Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Shironi with my friends Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard, who ate pie today, I heard.
Without me.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's still probably some in the green room.
The only thing I'm eating today is humble pie because my picks again. But alas, this is not a picks show. This is a fantasy show. So, lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's get to it.
A lot of injuries.
Yeah, a lot of injuries. We're going to start off, though, on a brighter note with the week two leaders. Actually, last week was full of a lot of surprises, but this week, you see the names that you expect at the top, I think, right up there. Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Antonio Gates, Phillip Rivers, maybe not as expected, but right?
Well, two names we know, but two names we didn't expect to see there with Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates going against that Seahawks defense. What a great performance by the Chargers. Our good friend Pete Prisco called that. He said that the Chargers would beat the Seahawks. He was right. And Phillip Rivers attacked that Seahawks defense. And Antonio Gates, this is now two very solid games in a row. Week one was good. Week two was amazing. And if he keeps this up, he's going to end up being probably the best pick on draft day because he was a real late-round selection for a lot of people.
Robert Griffin III was another sleeper for some of us up here. I know Pete liked him, too. He got hurt in the game. Looks like his season's over. Kirk Cousins stepped in, delivered a great fantasy game. And Jamaal Charles was somebody that we all thought would have a great season and a great game. He sprained his ankle, according to Andy Reid. He left this game early. Niall Davis stepped in, and he put up a big game. So hopefully, if you've got Jamaal Charles, maybe he misses some time with the ankle. Niall Davis comes into your lineup. He's owned only in 35% of CBSSports.com leagues, Erin, which means he's going to be a hot waiver claim on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Absolutely. Like we used to say on Wall Street, buy low, sell high.
Mm-hmm.
You can get him low. Well, maybe, unless anyone's listening to this, and then they're all going to clamor for him. You mentioned RG3 hurt. Again, unfortunately. Yeah. Sorry, RG3 and fantasy owners. A lot of injuries. It's only week two, and not only a lot of injuries, but a lot of big name injuries. Just look at that list there. Obviously mentioned RG3 and Jamaal Charles, but let's go through some of the other ones as well.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. You know, Noshon Moreno was our start of the week and didn't even make it out of the first quarter. Dislocated elbow, expected to be out 4 to 8 weeks. Lamar Miller gets hurt as well, so we could be looking at Damian Williams as the starting running back for the Dolphins if Miller's not ready to go. In week three, Ryan Matthews will find out the extent of his injury. That would open the door for Donald Brown to come in and play well. And as Dave alluded to, Jamaal Charles is probably the biggest one from a fantasy perspective because if he's out, Niall Davis had a monster game against the Broncos.
A.J. Green, too, not good. I mean, there's
no, that could be bad.
Yeah.
It's a foot injury, not turf toe, so it's certainly a little more serious, and the Bengals will have to keep everybody informed on that.
Well, turf toe actually been worse.
Both could be really bad.
Yep.
They're certainly not to, you know, make turf toe look like a sprained foot's, you know, happy cousin or something like that. They're both really bad injuries, especially for a talent like A.J. Green.
Don't be fooled by the alliteration, I think, is what we're getting at.
Right.
Turf toe. All right. Who are we targeting, guys? Because obviously, got quite a list here. DeAndre Hopkins, I think he's a pretty safe bet, right? I mean, he's owned, obviously, 77% of the leagues. Let's go through a couple. Eli Manning is up there, which, I don't know, you guys are going to have to make a case for that one.
Well, I think of the guys that we're looking at here, you know, we'll find out the Adrian Peterson situation going forward. Matt Asiata was clearly the lead back for the Vikings as expected this week. I still think we'll see Jerick McKinnon as the week goes on, or as the season goes on, depending on Peterson's absence. But obviously, Niall Davis is going to be the number one priority claim for a lot of fantasy owners.
Yep.
You know, I think you could look at some of the guys at the top with Hopkins, Walker for sure. Jeremy Hill, I think, is somebody that we told you really not to give up on. But yeah, it's going to be Niall Davis, I think, at the receiver spot, Mohamed Sanu, just because of the injury to A.J. Green. And Jonathan Stewart, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. He didn't exactly have a pretty stat line, but it was a tough opponent against Detroit. And he's always been somebody that's had some talent. It's just a matter of can he carry it through, can he stay healthy.
There's a name not on this list. It's Donald Brown with the San Diego Chargers. He's owned in less than 20% of CBSSports.com leagues. If Ryan Matthews has a knee injury that keeps him sidelined for a couple weeks, he'll be the guy stepping in for San Diego as their main running downs back, working with Danny Woodhead. They just signed him to a contract extension during the offseason, and he was a pretty good running back for Indianapolis last season. So if you're looking for a guy to either replace Ryan Matthews, maybe you're too high on waivers, you can't get to Niall Davis, Donald Brown might be the next best thing.
And we didn't have two tight ends this week, Jordan Cameron and Jordan Reed, and Larry Donnell and Niles Paul both showed, that was Adam Azer's actually bold prediction from today.
Oh, yeah?
And so that he thought that all three of those guys, along with
Jermaine Gresham,
who's stepping in for Tyler Eifert, would do well. His original bold prediction was two of the three guys he was going to name were going to have top 12 finishes. He was right, because two of them did in terms of Paul and Donnell. So hopefully that's something you could look at. Donnell's available in about 66% of leagues, and Niles Paul, 91% of leagues. So if those guys are out in terms of Reed and Cameron, you have some good options.
Well, hopefully that makes Azer feel better, considering that his Giants were poop.
Yeah.
To put it nicely.
Right?
We're not blueberry pie.
They look better, though. They look better. You got to give them credit. They look a little better.
They were at least competitive.
He left the room, though.
Yes.
All right, guys. Stick around. We got to head to commercial break. Do not go away. We're going to be back with lots more good stuff. And, of course, now that you've gotten the advice that you need, it's time to put it to good use. Join a CBS Sports Prize League and compete for up to $5,000 with a cash prize in every league. Go to cbssports.com/FFT to join or create a league today. We'll be right back. Stick around.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Chironi, joined by Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Who else? Who else better than to get that? I completely forgot.
I thought, are we getting like a special guest?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's going to pop out. All right, it's time for some game recaps. What I was going to say is, who better to recap the games with than you guys? That's what I was trying
True.
To say. It's late, though.
That's
so
right.
Took a minute to get it out.
A little bit.
All right, we left off talking about our poor friend Azer and his Giants. So let's start off with the Cardinals-Giants, 25-14. I think he actually fled the room to cry about it and then gave them an F-minus he gave them.
He either cried or he cursed. One of the two things.
Yeah.
It might have been both.
Or both. We love you, Azer. Victor Cruz didn't do anyone any favors. Eli, on the other hand, we saw him up there in the graphic before we went to break. He fared a little bit better, 19 fantasy points. But what did we see from the New York Giants passing game?
Strides. I mean, I think that's probably the best way to put it, is they improved. You know, it's just a matter of getting the receivers going now, because they can't just rely on Larry Donnell to carry this passing game. You know, Victor Cruz asked for the ball more. He got 10 targets. Seemed like he had almost 10 drops. You know, it was a pretty tough game for him. And he really didn't see a lot of Patrick Peterson. It was really more Peterson covering Ruben Randall. And we saw Randall score the touchdown in that game. So we'll see what happens moving forward with them. You know, I don't think you really have to judge these guys and say they're must-start guys now moving forward. Randall, I think, if was dropped, you could stash him. But otherwise, it's really just the Larry Donnell show.
Okay. Small steps, but giant leaps.
Well, there's also Rashad Jennings.
Who I think people
yards.
Know about Jennings.
Yeah, people know about
starting him.
Right, sure. And he's better in a PPR league than a standard league.
Right.
I just didn't want to think that really it was Larry Donnell and then nothing.
Right. I'm sorry.
I'm a little sad.
Jamie was prone to hyperbole there.
Right.
Which is something I usually do. Maybe it's rubbed off, literally rubbed off.
I guess so.
All right. Bills, Dolphins, 29-10 with the Bills pulling out the win there. If we're honest here, look, we all knew that the Dolphins win against Patriots was a fluke last week, I think, right? I mean, am I being
You can look
harsh?
At it that way, sure.
It's kind of fluky.
It's certainly a public perception.
Okay, so I'm with the public there. Are you more optimistic about Sammy Watkins now, though?
I think you have to be. Just the fact that he was able to play so well and convert so many of his targets. Only missed on three passes. One of them definitely was not his fault. He had a shot at a touchdown before he actually did score a touchdown earlier in the game, and he's a good athletic talent. And if E.J. Manuel can keep making strides himself, we talked about the Giants making some strides. If the Bills can make strides in their passing game, Sammy Watkins is going to be an every week starter in fantasy football.
Yeah, but I think, you know, from the Dolphins' perspective, you had a game here where they're coming off the big win, you know, fluky or whatever. You know, it was still a nice win for them.
They did a great job running the ball
in
their first
game. And they did. And then you lose, you know, Noshon early in the game. You know, it remains to be seen how he would have done. You know, we were optimistic he was going to play well. Certainly I was, making him the start of the week. And then Lamar Miller goes down. And so now you have a situation looking ahead to week three. Is Damian Williams now somebody that you would consider picking up? And not only that, would you consider starting him if you're stuck? You handcuffed the two Dolphins. I know you did that in one league. Maybe it was a mock draft, but I know you did that in one draft where you took
Miller and Moreno. Yeah, right. That would be a doomsday situation.
Now, you go pick out Damian Williams. And we've seen, look, Bobby Rainey today, good game stepping in for Doug Martin. Matt Asiata stepping in, played well. Bernard Pierce, you know, second start for the Ravens. He had a good game Thursday night. So these backup running backs, they could come in and still be, you know, respectable starters for you, if not quality starters for you.
As of now, I don't know if Lamar Miller is going to miss any time. I know he hurt his ankle before the end of the game. There's nothing out there on that. If he were to miss time, or if you wanted to pick up Damian Williams, just make sure you pick up the right Damian Williams.
Yes, good call.
Because his name is spelled with one A and one E, not two A's. If you pick up the wrong one, you'll pick up a wide receiver who will not help you in your fantasy league.
And it was good to see C.J. Spiller run well again. Didn't have a good fantasy game, but he's running well, still getting the majority of touches there. Yeah, so, you don't get the special teams points unless you're in leagues like that.
In other words, what David's trying to say is do your ad drops while you're sober, please, so that you don't mistake one A for two.
Right.
Which you could actually do if you were sober anyway.
Probably.
Right. But Sunday night after a long day of football, just be careful is what we're saying. Panthers, Lions, Panthers 24, Lions 7. A lot of people took the Lions in this one, if we're talking line or even straight up. Jamie, you said it earlier, Carolina's legit. They won without Cam Newton, then they won with Cam Newton. They're looking pretty good. Any concern, though, about the offensive lines on this team? On these teams?
Yeah,
both of them, there were a lot of sacks.
This is definitely the big woe for the Panthers. You know, their defense is still very good, and I think they showed that in, you know, stopping that Lions offense. And Cam coming back, he looked good. You know, I mean, it was I was concerned. I know you were much more optimistic, and he came out and he played very well. And so we'll see how this, you know, matriculates going forward. I think they have a winnable game next week against the Steelers at home.
Yep.
I think their offensive guys that you're looking at, they could still be very good. Cam should be considered probably a must-start guy next week. Steelers' defense has not looked good against two quarterbacks so far.
They certainly haven't looked good against the run, which makes Jonathan Stewart an interesting
as long as D'Angelo's out, yeah.
It really depends on D'Angelo.
And Tolbert got hurt. You know, I'm assuming he's going to be okay. I haven't seen anything otherwise. But
right.
I think Benjamin will bounce back. Greg Olsen will play well. But it shows that Cam, without his two big guys playing well, touchdown to Avant, doesn't make any mistakes, 280 passing yards, not bad.
Just didn't like that he had so many guys in his face. And the Lions were getting to him. He was sacked four times. But Stafford was sacked four times, too. And that's almost the difference in the game because neither team could really run the ball for a great average. But combined, both of them were below 4 yards per carry running the football. And so with Stafford struggling, yeah, I think you've got to look at his offensive line. He's not going to play pass rushes like the Panthers every single week. That's the good news.
You know, what was interesting to see is that we had a lot of questions, you know, early in the season and on draft day about the Lions running backs, Joique Bell, Reggie Bush. And we've been saying,
I was just going to mention that
Joique Bell was the one to target. And you saw it today that he really pushed Reggie Bush off the field.
Yeah.
Six catches over 61 yards.
11 targets.
11 targets. And Reggie Bush barely touched the ball. He actually had a better rushing average than Joique Bell.
He did.
But it was the Joique Bell show in that backfield.
I like it. The Joique Bell show. So should we buy low on Detroit running backs then?
I don't know if buying low is the right way to go about it. I think people who have them are going to hold on to them. I don't think anybody's going to look at what Joique Bell did today and say, all right, this is the time. I've got to move him out of here.
Right.
That just doesn't make sense. You really, in order to do that, you must really not like the Lions' offensive line.
Right.
And Bush, you wouldn't be able to sell high on anyway. So if I have some of these guys in my fantasy leagues, and I do, I'm not trying to trade them. I'm sitting.
You could if you're desperate at running back and you have some, you know, I don't know if Sammy Watkins is the right player, but a receiver or tight end that you're sitting on that you're never going to play and somebody's just fed up with Reggie Bush and needs help somewhere else,
yeah.
It might not be a bad idea just to sit on him and speculate because if Joique Bell does go down, maybe Reggie Bush gets back up,
yep.
You know, gets elevated to a higher role. But next week should be a fun game for them because they're playing the Packers at home. And I think you'll see the Lions get back to putting up some more offensive
points. Oh, yeah, they have to. No question.
They will.
I'd bet on that. All right, on that note, we're going to head to break, guys. Make sure you stick around. Lots more good stuff to come.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Aaron Cerrone, joined by these two lovely fantasy experts. It's like a game show host, Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard.
What are we playing?
I don't know. What are we winning is the question.
Dave's good at these, so.
We need someone to stand there and unveil a car or a barbecue set or lawn furniture that no one wants.
Ooh, I'll take the lawn furniture.
You want the lawn furniture?
Yeah. I'll take the car.
Really? Yeah. All right. Well, the car I think anyone would take. Lawn furniture, I don't know about.
I would take lawn furniture, too. But.
Clearly, I'm not a homeowner. I might want the lawn furniture. All right. We're still recapping our games here. And speaking of owners, we got to help out our fantasy owners. So Bengals-Falcons, we are actually talking about this on the break. Bengals with the win, but obviously notable injury. A.J. Green, who just made a comment while we were on commercial break. So I guess the question is, how concerned should we be about their prospects now? A.J. Green says he's likely to be back next week.
He hopes to play next week. He says the toe isn't the issue. But Jamie made a good point saying that they have a bye coming up in week four, part of bye NATO that's coming up on the radar. It's time to get ready for that. And so maybe the Bengals hold him out for a week, and then he comes back in week five.
It's a winnable game at home against Tennessee that just couldn't, you know, struggled in their place against the Cowboys. So you have to figure they may try and just see if they can get by without risking AJ Green further, because they clearly have playoff aspirations. The one thing that's nice is they ran the ball with so much success, and the Cowboys just ran all over that Titans defense. So you figured this is going to be the Giovanni Bernard and maybe Jeremy Hill show. And we saw it with the players to target with Jeremy Hill. You know, I think a lot of people look at it and said, bad week one, what's going to be his usage? They're going to go with both guys. Gio's still the best guy. We've been saying that all offseason. But Jeremy Hill is somebody that you're going to see tonight's game with Carlos Hyde, with Jeremy Hill. These rookies, we hope to see it eventually with Bishop Sankey. They may not be the starters, but you can still get by using them as flex options, especially with no Charles maybe next week, no Matthews maybe next week, mm-hmm. Ben Tate's out. The running back position being what it is, you may have to start some of these guys.
And the nice thing about Hill is that he had 15 carries today. The Bengals ran the ball 45 times and only threw it 24 times. That's part of just being ahead in a game against Atlanta. They had a 2-touchdown lead in the second half. So they leaned on the ground game. But it's a good ground game, and the Falcons' run defense is pretty bad. So, yeah, they could implement the same exact thing against Tennessee.
And you have now, without A.J. Green, you know, it's going to make Andy Dalton, I think, hands-off if he doesn't play next week.
Yeah.
But it does make Mohamed Sanu somebody that I think, just looking at the receiver spot, would you say he's the best guy to target right now? Off waivers?
Sanu?
Yep.
I'm not sure, because DeAndre Hopkins is also making some
pretty big
plays.
But he's also, the targets weren't there. It was 76% ownership, too. So you're talking about a small percentage of smaller leagues. In terms of where Sanu is, I think he's almost the guy you want to target.
He's probably the guy.
Wasn't it Chris said he was a
he had Sanu,
bullish on
he started
Sanu.
Him against him.
He started Sanu against me
Sanu.
In our fantasy game. Sanu.
Sanu.
I actually like the guy. Sanu's
Sanu,
a nice guy.
Who knew?
Yeah. Mohamed's a good guy.
Pete Prisco knew, apparently, about Sanu.
He did.
I could go all Dr. Seuss on this all day. All right. We love you, Pete. Surprise Cleveland. Browns 26, Saints 24. I don't know how many people saw that one coming. Certainly, the public didn't, because that line was 6.5 Saints.
I thought Cleveland would give them a game.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, I think that they did better than most people thought they would do. And, in fact, it was Will Brinson who tweeted, when Manziel plays, the Browns win, which I thought was hilarious, because I don't think anyone saw Manziel play. Like, if you blinked, you missed it.
He had one pass attempt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. Good for you, Johnny. I feel like this question always comes up, though, with the Saints. Do we have to worry about them when they're outdoors?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Although, the track record says so.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, you look at it, Jimmy Graham scores 2 touchdowns. You know, Breeze has gotten off to a slow start, and you have to sort of be a little bit concerned, because they're running the ball with a lot of success. And this was, you know, this was kind of what I was worried about when I had Aaron Rodgers ranked ahead of Drew Brees, was that will they run the ball a little bit more this year? Now, you could argue that it hasn't worked out in their favor, because they're 0-2 mm-hmm. with running the ball a little bit more. But, you do. You have to worry. You know, and I think next week, I believe they're home to
Minnesota,
so that should be a get-right game for them.
That could be a game they just pace the Vikings.
Right.
Should be.
42-3, something like that.
Should be, but listen, the way things are going so far, you honestly never know. You know?
Well, it's kind of.
I'm just saying.
It's, no, you're absolutely right. But
I was going to say, it kind of goes to what I was saying in the halftime show, that this is, you know, Carolina's now got a 2-game lead. And say what you will about their opponents, it's not like, you know, I understand the Saints went into Atlanta last week, but they also played Cleveland. That's not exactly a tough. It shouldn't have been a tough game.
It should have been a win.
And so now they have a 2-game lead. You know, so for the Saints to have to catch the Panthers,
they're going to have to beat them. They're going to have to beat them twice, including at Carolina, which is outdoors on grass, going to be a tough spot.
All right. Well. Good luck, New Orleans. Moving along, Patriots, Vikings. Patriots looked like the Patriots again, so calm down, everybody, who was all ruffled last week. Tom Brady, however, had just 11 fantasy points, which if you're a Tom Brady owner, I don't think you want to see that. Thoughts on the running games in this game?
Well, the Patriots didn't have to throw the ball, because they got a big lead early. The defense turned the ball over 3 times in the first half against the Vikings. And so in the second half, they were able to just run the football and pretty much let Stephen Ridley take over. And Ridley didn't do much with his first 11 carries, and then really broke out when the game was pretty much over and had finished with over 100 yards and a touchdown. He's going to keep it going next week against Oakland.
He should.
That's another game that could end up just like this one, where Brady doesn't end up having to do a lot. Remember, Brady was part of the reason why New England lost last week.
Right.
He couldn't convert third downs with much frequency. He was off in the second half. Yada, yada, yada. He had a bad game. So maybe New England uses this opportunity to just work on the passing game a little bit, but lean on that ground game and have Ridley kind of lead the way, as long as he doesn't fumble, which is a big problem.
This was my concern with Brady coming into the year, was they'll do what they have to do to win. And it's not necessarily to get Brady's stats
up because
he's a Hall of Famer. They're looking for another Super Bowl.
They're not playing fantasy football.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, it's not that Brady's going to be a bad fantasy quarterback. He's always going to have his moments. And you know, he missed on a couple passes here or there. They could obviously do the same thing next. They could use that as a get-right game to get their passing game going next week because it's a cross-country trip for the Raiders for a 1 o'clock start. So I'm not sitting Brady yet, but this is nerve-wracking. You know, because it's not like Gronk. We can't say no Gronk now.
Right.
Edelman's playing very well.
Right.
They're getting Dobson involved. I don't need to do much today, but he's going to be
started.
Right. He's going to be on the field. So this is concerning. And it was, you know, frustrating from my guy, Shane Vereen, not playing at a high level. But
they didn't need him.
I did like to see Stephen Ridley do that coming into that game next week against Oakland because it could give everybody a lot of confidence to start him.
Matt Asiata, I was just going to say real quickly about the Vikings running game. Asiata had 30 yards and a touchdown on the very first drive for the Vikings, and it looked like the Vikings were going to give the Patriots all they could handle. And then after that, Matt Castle, you know, did his thing and blueberry pie, as Aaron said earlier on about the Giants. Asiata finished the game with 36 rushing yards, 48 receiving yards. Nothing special. If it wasn't for the touchdown, fantasy owners that used him in place of Adrian Peterson would have been bumming.
Right, and I don't know about you. I got this question a lot. What does the Adrian Peterson absence now mean for Cordarrelle Patterson and Kyle Rudolph? And we saw it was a bad game. Now, you could chalk it up to the Patriots just completely, you know, hammering that offensive line and really not giving Castle time
Castle
to throw.
Castle just didn't have a chance.
But you now know that without that premier running back in the backfield, teams can now sort of scheme a little bit differently to take away Patterson. So we'll see if this breakout season matriculates as a result of Peterson, if he's out for an extended period of time.
My favorite part of this entire back and forth was that Dave yada yada Tom Brady's bad game. I love a good Seinfeld reference, but I'm just saying, I'm not a Brady owner, so I find it funny. You know?
Yeah, the people that have
he had a bad
Tom
game
Brady
and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to yada yada right over to a commercial break, guys. Be sure to stick around. We'll come back with more good stuff.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Aaron Cerrone, joined by Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. My voice cracked there, just like Marone's bar mitzvah boy. We were talking about before the show started. I am now a 13-year-old boy, in case you didn't know. All right. No, what I actually am is an angry woman, and we're going to talk about that Cowboys-Titans game for a number of reasons, leaving the pick out of it and just talking about Tony Romo. As a Tony Romo fantasy owner, you got to be disappointed, man. 13 points. I mean, Cowboys won 26. 13 points from Tony Romo. So even when the Cowboys win, you are losing with Tony Romo. And
It's been a bad start.
Yeah.
But, you know, the quarterback play from a lot of these guys has been bad.
It's been up and down. It's been a little
more. Yeah, well, I mean,
we just got finished talking
about Brady, and Breeze has not gotten off to a good start as well. It's obviously troubling, you know, and a lot of people had the decision to make. I know we got this question, Locker or Romo, and you were disappointed either way.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so hopefully you're winning your fantasy games in spite of your quarterbacks. But
or not.
Some of them aren't.
Yeah, it's ugly. But the good thing is, I think you point to, he got a touchdown. You know, he got, you know, the touchdown to Dez Bryant.
Right.
And he didn't turn the ball over, so that would make it strides. You know, so just hopefully this is, look, I think it's going to come.
Strides for the Cowboys, giant leap for Tony Romo.
I think it's going to come. You know, there are going to be a lot of people jump off the bandwagon, which is fine, but I think it's going to come.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, is they didn't need him again. This is the exact same thing that happened to Tom Brady
this week,
is that they didn't need him. DeMarco Murray led the way, had a monster game against the Titans, and kind of surprising that the Titans were this bad against the run, and it really opened up. DeMarco Murray had just as many carries as Tony Romo had pass attempts. So you need to wait for another matchup for Dallas when you know that maybe DeMarco Murray will have a hard time. You know Murray's going to get his work. They're going to keep on feeding him the football long as he holds up. It's the offensive line, and it's him too. DeMarco Murray's done a great job, and they're going to lean on him and take some of the pressure off of Tony Romo.
Are you saying that coaches and offensive coordinators don't care about fantasy point production?
Only on their fantasy teams.
This was troubling for the Titans because what looked like a great – or at least the start of a great offense last week against Kansas City, and to do what they did against that Dallas defense, it makes you a little nervous to say, okay, because we love Sean Green this week, awful.
Five carries.
We thought Jake Locker was going to play well. awful.
So good.
Only bright spot from this game was Delanie Walker, and I think he's, you know, going to ascend to must-start tight end, because you've been saying this, you know, for a couple weeks now with Ken Wisenhunt and his background and where Walker was last year.
Right. Plus, he's used the tight end in the past as recently as last year to beat the first two opponents that the Titans have had.
But again, that's just something you didn't see coming. I mean, of all the picks that I made, the Titans, that was my first one. I was like, oh, yeah, after what had they played last week, and they're playing the Cowboys and going up against Romo. Come on, man. No problem.
But yeah, I thought so, too. But it's interesting that Sean Green only had five carries. McCluster had four. He's in a walking boot now after the game. Bishop Sankey's a name we're going to hear a lot about. Two carries, 3 yards. And that's it for him. I wonder if we're going to get closer and closer to that point where the coaches, who have obviously soured on Sean Green to only call his name five times, I wonder if we're going to get closer to getting in there.
It's blitz protection. You know, once he gets comfortable and they trust him enough, they're going to have to go to him. I mean, why would you invest the draft pick in him that they did to only go with Sean Green and Dexter McCluster? I know Wisenhunt had the success last year with Danny Woodhead, but clearly McCluster through two games is not proving to be that same type of player.
You and I both agree that this Cowboys, and Aaron, you too, like this Cowboys defense on paper looks terrible. And they found a way to hold the Titans down.
I have no idea how that happened.
You have to give credit, though, because last week, if it wasn't for the turnovers and the short field against the 49ers, it's not like Kaepernick beat them up. 201 passing yards. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a great game running the ball, the 49ers did. Mm-hmm. And now they come back and they do another good job this week. Next week, you may be looking at the Cowboys as a sneaky DST in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. St. Louis' offense is terrible.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
I don't know about all that, but what we do know is there was a huge blowout. Redskins 41, Jaguars 10. And you mentioned it before, we got to give credit where credit is due to our buddy Pete Prisco, because he called that one correctly. He actually said he thought it was the easiest pick, which, by the way, Pete, it's easy to say that when you're sitting there watching the game, but whatever. Hindsight's 20/20. But good kudos to you. Question is, are Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee droppable?
Well, Hurns was banged up after the game. He was on crutches after the game. So if he's significantly hurt, I think it's going to be easy to let him go.
And if Cecil Schwartz is healthy.
Yeah. And then with Marquise Lee, just a lot of great talent there. But Chad Henne is a major problem for this offense. And I don't know if the right thing to do is to put Blake Bortles in. And even if they do put Blake Bortles in, it doesn't mean that Marquise Lee is going to turn around and become a fantasy superstar.
Right.
So I think the best thing to do is to almost get rid of these Jaguars receivers off your team, like you said, Aaron, and wait for somebody to break out, whether it's Lee, whether it's Hurns once he's healthy, whether it's Shorts when he gets healthy. And when it happens, hopefully it'll be with Bortles under center and when the coaching staff gets better performance from the offensive line, which, by the way, has drowned Toby Gerhart and his fantasy value, too.
Let's move along to another game, which irritated me. This is like,
well, hold on.
Like
before we go there, the Redskins, you know, without RG3 now and DeSean Jackson,
right.
We have to see how Kirk Cousins is going to do, but he's available in almost
every
league. And we're talking about now Romo struggling, Brady struggling, Dalton without A.J. Green. Keep going here with the quarterbacks. Drew Brees struggling. Now they're going to start.
We don't know what's happening with Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer situation. So there's a lot of issues at quarterback right now. Jake Locker, everybody's going to jump off that bandwagon.
Right.
We'll see in this game tonight with Cutler, if he gets off to a bad game, you know, like you've been calling for all week. And every RG3 owner. So Kirk Cousins comes out and he plays well. You know,
yeah.
He wasn't great,
yeah,
but he played well. And he took advantage of the matchup in front of him. So we'll see if he's going to be one of those populars. I think he's going to be the most added quarterback.
Are you nervous about Pierre Garçon, who had a 7-game streak of catching at least 5 passes per game snap today?
Well, this was they ran the ball. I mean,
right.
You know, I would throw this game out because, you know, everything just got kind of out of whack
right.
for them. And DeSean Jackson, you have to keep an eye on his injury as well.
That's right. A lot of injuries, like we said at the top of the show. I mean, a lot of low point fantasy totals, I can see.
Yeah. There were
It's the lowest that I've seen in recent memory.
Lots of pitfalls. I don't think we had a week like this last year.
Yeah.
With
there
injuries?
Were so many prominent guys hurt. There's a lot of guys hurt every week. It's the NFL.
Yeah.
But prominent guys, fantasy picks that were taken round one, round two, three through five. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, if you look at that list, it's definitely jumps out at you. All right. Seahawks, Chargers. We mentioned Antonio Gates at the top of the show. Again, somebody who you might not have expected to see there. And I didn't think this game was going to go this way. Although, again, credit to Pete Prisco because, Pete, you called it correctly. I was wrong. You were right.
I don't know if he thought Antonio Gates would have 3 touchdowns, though.
I don't think he thought Antonio Gates would play well at all because he was calling for
Ladarius
Green to be the guy for them, you know, moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say Phillip Rivers was going to play well.
And he did.
And I think you got to look at that this now that Keenan Allen's now struggled through 2 weeks. And again, the opponents have a lot to do with that. Patrick Peterson last week and then the Seahawks now. But it's almost like it's back to the LaDainian Tomlinson Chargers when it was Rivers and Gates and that's all they had. You know, Vincent Jackson here or there. Mm-hmm. But he was so focused on Antonio Gates. And he's playing through this hamstring problem. You know, so we want to write him off.
Can't do it.
You can't do it yet. And you know, the tight ends, look, we had Heath Miller now two bad games in a row. Dennis Pitta had the bad game because of Owen Daniels. Rudolph, 2 for 16 and a touchdown, real bad game this week. Going to get a lot of people now looking at Antonio Gates on somebody's bench and trying to make a trade for him.
Yeah. Or they'll just cut him like Adam Azer did and then Lockenford picks him up and starts him. And now Lockenford is going to win this week.
I think it gets me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, Jason, wherever you are out there in the ether. With that, we got to take a break, guys, but stick around. I'll be right back with Jimmy Eisenberg and Dave Richard for more good stuff.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Aaron Ciaroni with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, and we are recapping games for you. Guys, we've got four games left on the docket, so let's kick it off with Rams, Bucks. Can Zach Stacy owners breathe a collective sigh of relief?
After his touchdown today, still averaged 3.7 yards per carry, still didn't have even a target in the game, had a fumble in the game. I think he's okay, but I might try and see if I can sell high on him, especially in a week where so many running backs went down. Mm. This might be the time to trade him away.
Although Dallas at home next week. Now, we haven't seen the teams run on Dallas so far through 2 weeks, but this is the bread and butter of the Rams. And the fact that he got all that work, I might wait a week and then try and sell. I remember last year, as good as he was, 3.9 yards per carry. So this is basically a Zach Stacy game right here.
Mm-hmm.
So not breathing collectively, whooshing out, but
relief. I'm getting ready to put him on the trade block since I just don't know what the future holds for him. Cunningham still had 6 carries and a catch in the game.
Yeah, but it was 19-7, though, in terms of touches. You like that for Zach?
I do like that, but I also know that it's a quarterback issue in St. Louis, and it's going to be hard for him to put up big games like he did last year.
PPR owners should be happy. Brian Quick, another decent game.
Yeah.
You know, someone to look at from the Rams side of things. Mm. And then the Bucks. Look, we went into the week, Sunday at least, we went into Sunday thinking Doug Martin was going to play. And then we find out during the day, Doug Martin's not going to play. But Bobby Rainey played really well.
Yeah, so some of us who have Doug Martin, we're not happy people.
No, and I think Rainey's going to be a hot name off the waiver wire, too. I don't know how many leagues he's available in. You might have those percentages more so than I do. But Rainey had a great game against a great run defense.
What used to be a great run defense.
Well, losing Chris Long hurts him, but now he really got him good. And it wasn't just on handoffs. He had 3 catches for 30 yards, 3 targets in the game. And you know that Tampa Bay doesn't love Doug Martin. They drafted Charles Sims. And now that Sims is on the shelf, maybe they look at Rainey a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. Maybe they even tell Doug Martin, listen, your legs hurt. Take it easy. We got the little fella coming in here to take care of business.
He's available in 57% of leagues.
So he's out there. That's good. You can pick him up.
He's in the mix. All right, Chiefs, Broncos. Takeaway here is go get Niall Davis, right? I mean, he's only in 35% of our leagues. And again, buy low, sell high, right, if you can.
Just buy. You know, you're looking at it. This is, you know, you hear us say the word lottery ticket, the phrase lottery ticket a lot, and this is the reason why. Because, you know, I hope it's not one of those situations where you go out and you spend all your bid points on Niall Davis, and then we find out Jamal Charles plays. Because you're hoping to get Niall Davis as a starter. Obviously, if you're a Jamal Charles owner, you better have Niall Davis. And I think I know I took him from you in one league.
Right,
you
but had in Jamal other Charles. Leagues I've got.
No, I'm sure you do. But I know, like, I remember drafting him. I think it's our podcast league. I remember drafting him thinking, I'm going to make a trade with Dave at some point during the year for Niall Davis. Something small at the time. Now it's obviously going to be, you're going to have to pony up a little bit for this now.
I can see Dave's lip quivering as you're talking.
I go from, Jamie's going to, you know, let me get away with giving him DeAndre Hopkins to him. And then Jamie goes, no, it's going to
be.
It's going to be Julio Jones.
I'm surprised it's so low. You know, it's just one of those things where it's buyer's remorse because you probably were looking at it one of your last picks and saying, oh, maybe I should get Niall Davis.
Right.
I'll just pick him up off waivers.
Or somebody else took him in front of you and then maybe dropped him
right
after week one.
And you decide not to pick him up.
Yep.
All right, so listen, takeaway here, people, go on and get Niall Davis right now. Because next week he won't be owned in just 35% of our leagues. Jets, Packers. Jets surprising people again. I mean, listen, they led quite a bit.
They didn't lead when it counted, though.
No, they didn't. But, I mean, watching that score, at least in the beginning, I was like, wow, look at
that. I was expecting a blowout. I really thought that the Packers coming off that loss last week.
I think a lot of people were as well. So, again, that's why I say the Jets surprised everybody. I mean,
this is now 2 weeks in a row where Geno Smith has looked like a decent fantasy quarterback, let alone a decent NFL quarterback. You know, and I think if you're trying to replace some of these quarterback options, he's not a bad guy to consider.
He's not bad, but I don't know if I can get behind it.
I don't want to start him, but I think, you know, you're looking to speculate.
Right, like he already had the best matchup he could have for fantasy owners to feel comfortable with him with the home game against Oakland. You're not going to find a matchup better.
Well, he played okay today.
He played okay, and it was against a defense that I think is going to have some problems this year. I think Green Bay's defense
don't get lured into thinking but here, the Jets are going to play like this every week.
Right, but the thing I think we need to look at is the running game for the Jets.
Chris Johnson had a 1.8 rushing average.
Terrible. And Chris Ivory gets the touchdown. We know that was going to happen when they got inside the five.
Yeah, double digits in fantasy points.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row now. So that's a guy you may look to trade for cheaply if you can.
All right, also, though, are we concerned about Eddie Lacy?
I think you have to be a little bit. You know, next week they get Detroit. Detroit's a decent run defense. You said it on the show.
Talk about him being matchup proof. I don't know if that's true anymore. And he only had 13 carries. I think the Packers figured out pretty quickly in this game that they can't run on the Jets with much effectiveness. And they were playing from behind, so Aaron Rodgers had to get in. Rodgers attempted 42 passes. They ran the ball 22 times. That includes 6 carries from Aaron Rodgers himself. Mm. So I think they just got away from the run in this game, and we'll see if they can get away from the run next week. My guess is that they will.
I don't think anybody's benching Eddie Lacy yet. We're not at that point.
No, but not if he comes out of next loaded at running.
He comes out of next week with a bad game, though. Then it's
I think he'd only have a decent game next week. I'm still going to start him. He's still going to be a top 12 running back for me.
But if you're sitting on Mark Ingram and maybe you picked up, you know, Nile Davis or Bobby Rainey, and you're looking at it going into the coming weeks, and Lacy has another bad game against Detroit.
Right. But then if you're trying to trade him to me, I also know that he's a concussion risk, and the next time he gets a hit to the head, he could be out for a while.
All right, speaking of hits to the head and pain, last but not least, we've got Texans-Raiders. I think you're just looking at this game the majority of the time going, please let it just end for Oakland. Like, please put them out of their misery. I mean, it was not good. DeAndre Hopkins, though, reliable fantasy option.
Got the short touchdown this week after getting the long, funky touchdown last week.
What were the targets?
5 targets for DeAndre, 3 catches, 22 yards, and the touchdown. So he wasn't even worth 10 fantasy points in a standard league. Barely got over it in the PPR. They didn't throw the ball much. This is something that you talked about, Jamie, because I made a big, bold statement that I'm going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick ahead of Jay Cutler, and we'll see how Cutler does after the Sunday night game. But one of the things you said, Jamie, was they might not have to throw that much, and it turned out that that was the case. Only 19 pass attempts for Ryan Fitzpatrick. They ran the ball 46 times. Arian Foster had 28 carries. Alfred Blue, next in line, 11 carries for 40 yards. I wonder if he's the handcuff to have.
You have to look at
that
way.
You've got Arian Foster. I think you almost have to look at it that way.
I still think, though, if Foster gets hurt, it's both guys. It's not necessarily going to be
Alfred
Blue. Which
is going to be a pain in the butt.
Yep, yep.
Don't get hurt, Arian Foster, and then everything will be all right.
Right.
No problem. Yeah.
Now, Maurice Jones-Drew didn't play in this game, and Darren McFadden didn't look good, but he scored a touchdown.
Did score a touchdown.
And you had James Jones. You know, he was the best Raiders receiver. I'm still hands-off with all the Raiders receivers if I can. And I think, though, if you're looking at somebody, McFadden's still available in about 30% of leagues. So this is another running back to put on your list. As long as he's healthy, getting the touches.
And as long as MJD's out, which is...
Well, that's the key, yeah.
And then James Jones had a big game, 14 targets, 9 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. Somehow fumbled twice on the same play. It's a little silly, and there's going to be people who look at James Jones and think he's going to be the number one guy in Oakland. He probably is, just based on the targets that he had last week, this week, and the production that he's put up. But being the best receiver in Oakland, I don't know. You could probably come up with a better analogy than I could, Aaron.
No, do it.
There's a reason.
It's about being the most handsome guy in an empty room, which I've been before.
It's like telling your mother, you're my favorite mom.
Right.
I hope you have only one. I mean, unless you're from some alien spawn, right? I don't know. I mean, how does that even work? Was that a better analogy?
I think so.
Something like that. You guys get the gist of it, though. I think they understand, right?
Yes.
There's a reason Oakland's in the basement.
You guys keep talking. I'm watching 49ers Bears on the TV over there.
All right. With that, guys, we're going to leave you for a quick commercial break. I'm Aaron Cerrone with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richards. We will be right back. Don't go away.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show. Presented by State Farm, I'm Aaron Cerrone with Jimmy Eisenberg and Dave Richard. It's so late, guys, I almost forgot your names. Almost. But then I looked at you, and I remembered when I saw your shiny faces.
Thank you very much.
Of course. All right. What everybody's been waiting for, got to work the waiver wire. We've gone through all the games. So let's look ahead to the waiver wire targets. Take a look at this list. DeAndre Hopkins, Delanie Walker, we mentioned him, Jeremy Hill. Eli Manning, I don't know about the Eli Manning one. Why is he on here?
It's his desperation. You know, people are looking for quarterbacks that could actually throw the ball.
Right. I don't think people qualify.
I like that your answer is it's just desperation, Eric.
Well, I mean, think about here's the quarterbacks that I have listed for at least the early look at waiver wire for Tuesday. Joe Flacco, Eli Manning, Josh McCown, Geno Smith, Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, and Kirk Cousins. Outside of Kirk Cousins, does anybody really inspire greatness there? So, you know, if you're the Carson Palmer owner in a 16-team league and he's the only guy that you potentially have, I know I started I started Drew Stanton in a 20-team league because the only quarterback I had was Palmer. So, you know, it was just out of sheer desperation. Somebody's going to be looking to start somebody in some league, and Eli Manning at least was capable.
And the other side of the coin is the bye-nado in week four. Six teams on bye, several of them with good fantasy quarterbacks that are going to be put on the shelf. So there might be some trades to be made or maybe some quick waiver claims. I think Kirk Cousins, a smart fantasy owner, might end up picking him up and seeing if they can pawn him for a quick upgrade at a different position.
I'm sorry, Aaron. The main position is the running back spot because there are actually names that you can actually rely on and there's spots that there should be available in leagues. You have the clear one is Nile Davis, 36% ownership. Jonathan Stewart, 30% ownership. Donald Brown, 18% ownership if Ryan Matthews is out. Chris Ivory, Jeremy Hill, these guys, Darren McFadden.
Bobby Rainey's
on 43% ownership. Jonathan Stewart, 30% ownership. Damien Williams could be a starting running back for the Miami Dolphins next week. There's 0% ownership, so he's available everywhere across the board. And then you go back to it, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, but Jonathan Dwyer scored a touchdown again, even though Andre Ellington had over 100 total yards. He's still there, you know, going to steal touchdowns from them. I still think there's 7 or 8 touchdowns in that offense for that running back spot.
That makes me mad. Grr.
And don't forget that Prisco's boy Sanu is on there, too.
Yeah, the receivers the receivers aren't great. You know, I think you look at Sanu, Brian Quick. I'd stay away from Miles Austin. To me, that's fool's gold. Allen Robinson could be interesting.
He had a pretty decent game.
In 2%. And then, again, Reuben Randle. They get the Texans at home next week. That's not a game that they should have a lot of trouble moving the ball against. Forget about what Oakland did. They should be able to have some
James
success.
Jones had a monster game.
Yeah, but they should have some success across the board moving against that Texans defense. Yeah.
As any previous Miles Austin owner will tell you, fool's gold sounds about right. That's, in fact, a very generous analogy there.
Hamstring gold.
Yeah, yep. Or something like that.
It's fool's old.
Fool's old gold. All right, anyway. Can't forget about Monday Night Football. Eagles at Colts at 8:30 p.m. Consensus around the office seems to be the Colts are going to pull this one out. What do you guys think?
I think so, too.
I like the Colts, but I think it's going to be a shootout.
I think it could be a pretty high-scoring game, too. But it's really, to me, Philadelphia's whole game is going to hinge on their offensive line. And I'm worried about the shape of that offensive line. I've been a big Nick Foles guy all offseason, all preseason.
No.
And then in the regular season, week one, and he had a terrible half when the Jaguars defense got into his face, and he came back in the second half, and he started making some throws that he was missing. I don't know if he can make all of his throws in this game against
the Colts. Didn't you jump off the Foles boat, like, halfway through that game?
Yeah. I was sitting over there, and I was pouring gasoline on the boat. The match was lit, and then all of a sudden he comes out in the second half, and I'm like, match is out. Get all the gasoline up. I actually bought a new bolt.
I was going to say no.
It's called the Uncle Rico.
Anybody else we should be looking at in this game?
It's going to be interesting to see how the Colts receivers shape up because, like you said, it should be a good game for the Colts offense. And to see if Reggie Wayne still is the most targeted guy, if T.Y. Hilton can go back indoors and play like the guy we hope he can be. Dwayne Allen can pick up from where he left off last week. And then Hakeem Nicks, can he score 2 touchdowns in one season? We'll see if that happens as well. But will Trent Richardson actually carry the ball with any level of success?
I think Ahmad Bradshaw, if you've got an empty roster spot somehow and he's out there, get him now.
Hopefully the Colts will put an end to my misery by covering spread. That's all I have to say.
There's a lot of people who feel that way.
I'm sure there are. I'm not alone. I'm not alone on my plate. All right. Thanks, guys, very much.
As always.
And thank you, guys, for watching. We're out of here. Time is up. I'm Aaron Froning with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. Catch you later.